Awesome. Thank you so much. Hey, y'all. My name is Jeff, and I'm an alcoholic. And it's great to be here. So great to be sober. Such a good life. And I jumped at the chance to do this. So I really, really appreciate y'all extending an invitation. It truly is a pleasure to do anything in Alcoholics Anonymous because, I mean, my life today is as a result of, doing what we do here, right? And I mean, my life today is so different. I have a sobriety date, March 21st, 2020. I got sober 3 weeks into COVID. And I'll obviously get more into that in a moment. I also have a home group, and that's and that's the Midtown group of AA. I mean, my sorry, I'm a little out of breath figuratively. I literally just arrived, 2 minutes ago. So I had like three like hits of a cigarette, and I'm like, we're going. So like, it's all just me. We're just to see what's gonna happen, y'all. So bear with me. But yeah, no. So I mentioned this. My home group is Midtown. I mean, that's my AA address, right? Like that is where I go, and people A know who I am, and B they've known what I've gone through, and C, they're able to use that to help me, right? If I show up and and I'm having a bad day or something, I'm able to, find someone with time and experience and able to, talk to them if something's blocking me off. I'm also able to, and I get to do this, right? I get to also, talk to the sick and suffering alcoholic, people who have, time or, who's newly sober. And that's such a gift to be able to do that because I mean I was useless when I got sober, but yeah no I mean sorry let me Tasha, sorry guys can you just take the straw bro sorry thanks just no no just like, yep just tilt it no tilt it up like straw back.
Oh, that's
Yeah thank you thanks guys sorry. Thank you. Yeah, so growing up, so I was born in Falls Church, Virginia. So honestly like an hour and a half roughly time or place excuse me place from here up in Northern Virginia. I was actually born at Fairfax Hospital. I was born 3 months early, and my right leg was actually wrapped around my ear when I was born. And the doctor, once I was born, my doctor actually had to put it back into place. And the reason why I was born early is because my heart rate was going down, and they were really concerned about me at birth. And and I mean I right away they knew that I actually I'm just gonna beat everyone to the puncher, but I have a physical disability. It's called arthro. Yeah, I know. It's called arthrogryposis, multiplex congenita. And basically it's a joint contraction disability, meaning that my joints are weak. But it doesn't get worse over time. It just stays like this my entire life. So I've actually had over like 19 surgeries in my life. Everywhere from getting my leg bent to 2 feet surgeries. And these were all very intensive. Like, I would have many days to recover, and there it was a very like long times to recover from these surgeries. I also had a very intense spinal fusion surgery because I was diagnosed with well, as a characteristic of arthrogryposis, there's a really big you're prone to getting scoliosis. So like my spine was was strained out. So I have a rod from T1 to T12 in my spine. I don't normally get too much in the medical like stuff because I mean I only did like if I have time to do it, but I feel like it provides, you know, I mean it's really part of me, right? And you know, I did not want to be disabled, right? You know, growing up, I acutely realized and like it was made aware to me that like I couldn't like do a lot of things like other like my other peers did, right? Like I can't ride a bike and I you know I couldn't you know run and you know I yeah so like I from a very very young age like I really like had like a lot of like self-doubt and self-pity and a lot of like me versus them mentality, right? And like this very adversarial like thing, you know, characteristic. And you know that really did shape me into, you know, a suffering alcoholic, like, you know, and I yeah, so like I went to I'm a product of the public school system in you know suburban Virginia or Northern Virginia, excuse me. And yeah, I went to a normal elementary school, middle school and high school. And you know I was a product of special education and you know I was in a lot of you know classes that were you know not integrated with other people. And then well, but that changed obviously later on because you know they did testing and they obviously you know my I'm pretty much cognitively aware and very much you know fine in that department. So they you know I really went to I really had the same experiences and the same classes as my peers. But yeah, no, like growing up, like it was hard, right? Like I didn't feel like I had many friends. I didn't feel like I you know really got along with people. And you know, I was like always like the outcast. Like I really was. Like I also too am a member of the LGBTQIA community. And that certainly kept me apart from you for a very long time. And I was just kind of talking about that with my boy Dash, who drove me down here today. And it just it brought back a lot of memories because I have buried that down so much. You know, I in high school I you know I was really like you know attention seeking, so I like really like wanted to know or I want everyone to know that I loved like girls, you know. So like I like you know, tried to like, you know, do like sleep with you and all these like weird, like inappropriate things. It just like it didn't work well. And you know, I was able to survive, but I had my first drink. I was 17. I was at a junior, sophomore or junior party in high school. I was at my friend Nathan's house, but I actually didn't really like it at the time. But I mean, I was attracted to kind of like the bad boys, right? So I mean that's like how I kind of like morphed myself, right? And I'll get into more of that later on, but yeah, no, like you know I had my first drink and it was a beer and I mean honestly it wasn't like eventful and like that kept me out for a very, very long time. Because like I did not think I was an actual alcoholic. I didn't think like my life depends on, you know, doing all of this, right? I couldn't fathom this for a very, very long time. So I yeah, so I graduated high school in 2008. I actually, in the summer of that year, I Well, yeah, early, late spring and late spring and midsummer and early summer. I had a guy friend who I started to become, we started to have a more sexual relationship, and that really confused me for a very, very long time. Like I knew deep down like I was gay, but like I didn't want to admit that at all. And that I like lost my virginity like a week before I graduated high school. And honestly, like I couldn't tell anyone, because like I was so embarrassed to be gay, and and like that was kind of like something that like a young adult, a late teenager, early young adult, like really, goes through in their own ways, right? But they are able to share it about with their friends. I didn't have that. Like I couldn't. I just that wasn't a part of it, and like I kept it very quiet, and I was super, super confused for a very long time. But yeah, so graduated high school in June of 2008. In that summer, I actually went to a I went to a like a I'm trying to think of the best word and the appropriate use of this word, but it was like a camp for independent living, and because I was about to go to college, and yeah, like I went. It was down in Stanton, Virginia, and I took classes on like how to cook and like how to I think I took like some driving lessons, and which didn't end up working at all. Excuse me. And yeah, just like self-help like classes. And and like I was the most not able-bodied, but like I probably had the most cognitive abilities at that camp. So I actually and this is honestly got a true story. Excuse me. I was actually almost charged. This was a week before my 18th birthday, so it was July, end of July 20. Yeah, I'm sorry, 2008. So I turned 18 in August of that year. But yeah, I actually was charged with soliciting prostitution, and almost charged. Almost. My dad actually talked the cops out of it, and I actually don't really talk to share about this much. Because I was quite embarrassed at the time. But basically what happened was, again, I was very confused, sexually confused, and I propositioned a young lady for, to have sexual relations, and she like told the camp counselor, and like, then they told the cops, and man, like I was like sent to the police officer's office, and or the principal, I forget what it was, but honestly, like my dad got me out of it, and like I wasn't end up charged. I was able to go to college, and and have my own experience, in my drinking and then in sobriety. But yeah, so August of 2008, went to Edinburgh University of Pennsylvania near Erie, Pennsylvania. It was a 4-year public education institution. It actually had it was a nor like a normal it had a really large normal population of people there, but at the same time there's actually it had a very, very large and very robust program for people with disabilities. So it offered like 24-hour personal care, and it offered a whole office of students with disabilities. I would take tests there, and they provide all my accommodations. And it was honestly the best time of my life. And obviously, I remember my first weekends in college. I actually went to every floor of my building, and I introduced myself to everyone, right? I introduced everyone because I want everyone to know me. I want everyone to know who J Wheels, right, was. And that was like my nickname. My friend came up with it in high school. It's kind of stuck, has stuck since then. My college friends will still call me it, but I also go by Jeff today, of course. But so like I wanted like everyone to know me, and so I actually got drunk one time my first semester, I actually ran through a window in my in the first floor of our dorm building. It was like really like shitty building, and I like lied. I actually did it in front of the RAs, so like they saw it because the RA like desk was like right next to it, right? And like I lied and I said like, oh, my wheelchair was broken, and they didn't actually like think anything of it, and like I was able to get away with it, but like everyone on campus knew me because of that, like, and like people like years after I graduated, like I went to go back up and visit, and I'll get to drink, I swear, in a moment, but but yeah, like they all knew who I was, because of that. And just me being at college. And I my first real drink so was at age 21, but I surely had, drunks and drinks before that. But I remember the real honest first time I was able to drink, like all that fear, all that judgment, like all that self-pity, all of everything I was feeling just went away when I had that first real drink of alcohol. And it was a rum and coke. I was a very much of a hard liquor kind of guy, liquor, excuse me. And so I never really drank here. I mean, I of course I've had it, but I mostly just relate to hard stuff. And so that was fall of junior year. I started going out like every Wednesday for like dollar doubles, and then Saturday or Friday and Saturday, and then it became Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday and Saturday. And this is how like my drinking generally progressed in one night. I would get to the bar because I of course like never really pregame because like I can't pour myself a drink, right? And I have to like try 10 times harder in order just to drink, Like, and I thought that was like all normal to me. Like I thought like everyone did that, but no, because people are able to like pour themselves a drink and do all that, right? Like all of my experience was drinking like publicly at a bar and stuff. So I've been banned by like 25 bars over the years. Like I swear to God, like it'll get more into like my young adult years in a moment. But the evolution of like a night for me at the bar would be like I would get to the bar around 9 or 10 at night. I was drinking, and then I was getting along with everyone, right? And I was like people pleasing left and right, and I mean everyone just knew me, right? And because I tried to get that reputation up, right? And so I was that stage character, right? And I would get to the bar about 10 o'clock at night. I would be drinking, having, my experience, right? And I would, something would turn, right? Like something would happen during that time while I was out, and suddenly people started to get like give me weird looks, and people would like, maybe you should drink water, Jeff. Or maybe they would like actually what they used to do, and I found this out recently, because I was catching up with my friend Kelsey. She used to put water in and lie to me that this was a rum and coke. And oh yeah, all my friends knew the tricks of the trade by then. So so I was I was pretty much off to the races when I started. I really never really had that opportunity of able to drink like a gentleman. Like I'm sorry, it's not my experience. Like, I was pretty much off to the races right away. I would black out like every night. I would, and all the bars in our college town would be like 2 miles away from my dorm. So, and our claim to fame of where I went to college is that, excuse me, we got like 5 feet of snow every winter. So it was snow from like November to like March or April. And I would be like driving my scooter in like a squall of snow, like not caring about, like, I just have to get to the bar, right? Like, I was like the intrepid, like, man out there. And yeah, it's just like, I mean, I don't mean to glamorize it at all, because it turned out like very almost deadly. But at first it was a lot of fun, and just like that, like I also held on to that for a very, very long time. And how long, or sorry, what time do I speak until? Like 6:50?
Seven.
7? Okay, thank you. Perfect. Yeah, so yeah, so I did the 5 year plan in college. I graduated in the spring of 2013. By that time, I was I was in student government. I joined a social fraternity. I pledged a regular frat, and I ended up not getting in because I was a 0.25 away from getting initiated, and I was very bitter about that, very resentful. And I like blew stuff up. I mean, what I mean by blowing stuff up is like I cause a lot of chaos and drama. Like that's what I do when stuff doesn't happen my way, right? And yeah, so like, and I held on to that resentment until I got sober, and part of it into sobriety. Like honestly, like it was a very bitter resentment that I had towards these guys, and they were nothing but very kind to me. It was all my fault, like I even asked like all the professors that year to give me like, oh, hey, I'm pledging a frat, so give me like a B or A or something. And I forgot to tell this one guy, and he gave me a C. And then I was like 0.25 away from getting in. It's like, shit, I forgot to do, or excuse me, I'm not allowed to swear. Like, shoot, I was not able to pledge. But yeah, okay, so yeah, so in college, I was a political science major. Before getting into college, I was very involved civically and politically, and that's all I'm really gonna say more than that. I'm not really gonna say more than that, but that ended up actually being my career. So yeah, so graduated in spring of 2013, came back. I just did my last semester here because I failed a computer and I think a government class, but they just ended up giving me the credit anyway because they all liked me. So but I did have to take that computer class, so I took it online. And I did the Hill internship in the morning, or I'm sorry, during the day, and I would go home in the evenings and do classwork. But then, like, obviously, like, that class wasn't that intense, so like I would have nights that like I would get out of my internship and then go down to Capitol Hill and be on the House or Senate side, and I would be drinking, right? I would be going to like, the bar, the watering holes, all the lobbyists and some of the members went, and like Cap Lounge and Hawk and Dove, and there's, I forget the one on the Senate side, but yeah, that yeah, I mean, that was where I would be right after my internship. And like I felt like I'd arrived. Like I felt like I was king of the world, because like I knew everyone, and everyone knew me. So like of course I would translate immediately back into my life in DC, which not really, but yeah, so like I graduated college in 2013. Sorry, I tend to repeat myself a little bit, I apologize. Tend to yeah, so graduating 2013, I got my first paying job as a staffer on a local campaign, a state house campaign in Northern Virginia in that fall. So yeah, so I would go to work and work very hard. Work, I mean, it was a very demanding job, very long hours. And then I would immediately find the bar and go out and like drink. you know, and like that would be like that vicious cycle again. It would be every single night, and I would black out, and I would not know how I would get home. Generally, what happened would be is that people would, you know, I made them like my, sorry, that sounds weird, but like they were like my caretaker right for the evening, so they like put me in an Uber and like carry my scooter and put it in the trunk, and I had this all down to a science for a very, very long time until it didn't work for me anymore. But yeah, no, like I mean, the consequences started happening immediately. Again, I started getting banned from bars. I would generally like say something or fall asleep in a bar, and they absolutely didn't want me to be back. That's generally what happened. And of course, what I mentioned earlier about the evolution of like a night out for me, like that was like every, that was Groundhog's Day. That was every single night. But yeah, so I mean, I also like during that time, like my mental health really, really got exacerbated. I'm not gonna get too much in the weeds here, but what I'll say is this is like getting sober like really, really like helped me mentally. And like that was able to, you know, having that spiritual solution and foundation really gave me the ability to you know, to do the steps, and that helped me. I mean, it didn't do everything, but it helped me to mostly pan out mentally. And I mean, I would have very severe OCD panic attacks for a very, very long time. Like I would have all these phobias, like sunscreen and dirt, and I don't know, all these like weird like lotions. Like I would like hate it, and like that would like I wouldn't let that ruin my life. Like I would literally like I became so crazy, like I couldn't have people touch me because I would be worried for like 2 weeks, like they were had like, you know, sunblock on, and that would like, you know, ruin my day. Honestly, like I don't have a problem today like with that. I mean yeah, I don't like it, but like I'm not gonna like, you know, change someone else's behavior about it, or you know, usage of it, as I should say. So that like getting somewhere like really was like a game changer for that as well. Now, I don't really open up about that, but like I do think it does help provide a lot of some of the agony that like I put my family through, because I would have like shouting matches when I would be like really drunk. I mean, it's just it was horrible. Like it was, and like I would have all these panic attacks. I think I went through five like caregivers like during that those bad years, and that was before I got an AA. And yeah, I mean, it was just really bad. And yeah, so I would work, and then 2016 rolled around. I was 26, 25, 26 at this point. I had a caregiver actually at that time that actually gave me the most anxiety I've ever experienced my whole life. And like I would drink over this person like every night, because like I tried to get rid of him and I couldn't. And I mean, it's just like I drink because I'm an alcoholic, right? But like that was like an excuse I gave myself. So like I couldn't handle this person. He actually turned out, we actually had to fire him the my last night drinking, because he actually assaulted me. And I'll obviously get there in a little while, but yeah, no, I mean, it's just like I gave him, I gave this person a living nightmare for about 7 years. So everything from biting him, I would cause him to bleed, which I don't like to really talk about, because that really is like a really, really like I'm really like heavily embarrassed by it. And it was something like I've had to work through with like a sponsor and inventory and everything. I'm grateful for the my awareness today. And I mean, I don't know if I'll make amends with, I mean, my sponsor, yeah, I've been having some conversations about it, right? But I mean, he assaulted me my last night of drinking, so like And he sexually assaulted me, and I just couldn't in good, can't. So I had to cut this person out of my life completely, and I couldn't make amends, and that haunts me a little bit, I mean, it's still it's something I'm still working through, but yeah, no, so basically, at that point, I was going out every single night. I would start drinking early and earlier during the day. This was 5 to 4 to 3 to 2, and yeah, I mean it. I would eventually, yeah. It's just I became very, very, very sick, spiritually, mentally, physically. I had a. So I moved to Michigan, fall of 2016, for about 3 months. I lived in Benton Harbor, Michigan, which is an hour and a half outside Chicago. Lived there by myself. I was able to find a job up there. I worked on I worked in that work hard, play hard environment that I still do today. Politics, and I ran through 16 different person carries because I was not sober by any stretch of the imagination after work. And then I would have them I would end work about 6 or 7 or 8 that night, and I would have them go pick me up at 10 o'clock, right? So I would go to the bar immediately, which is 4 blocks from my office, so it was like a mess. So I would get drunk, and I would become abusive, and or I would do something, and that it was just like it's it was horrible. It was like this vicious, vicious cycle of the disease, right? And so came back in November that year to back to DC, started managing in the business that I work. I still work in. I just mention that, but on June 29th, 2017, I remember that day vividly. It was a Monday. It was your typical Monday right before 4th of July. I was I was at the bar. It was called the Hamilton, which is downtown. It's right near the White House. And I was riding my scooter. I was in a blackout, right? So I was completely trashed, and I had a bag on the back of my chair. And you probably think, what does this have to do with pricing in China? But I mean, I honestly, that bag fell off, and I was in Lafayette Park, and I just passed out, and I woke up I came to, right? And it was 10 o'clock at night. And all these people were surrounding me, and all these police officers were surrounding me. I was like, oh man, what happened? What am I missing, right? Because of course I love the cultivating the drama, right? Sorry, I don't mean to make light of this. It's but it is provides part of that experience. And so basically, long story short, they eventually let me go. They thought I was actually trying to blow up the White House. I kid you not, because I had a bag on the back of my chair. It fell off, and they thought it was a suspicious package and stuff. So they locked down the White House, and it actually made the news. So if you type in, if you right now go on your phone, I mean, don't do it now. But if you so indulge, go to Google and type in White House suspicious package wheelchair. I mean, fourth story. There used to be in the Fox 5 affiliate that picked it up in Phoenix, there was actually a photo of me. So I actually called the reporter that next day, and I asked him to take it down. He did, but I the internet stuff stays with me forever. So I mean, that was my first wake-up call, right? I mean, that was my first, oh shit, or oh stuff. I'm this ain't normal. This is not normal. And yeah, that next day, like my parents for months were trying to get me into rehab, into like an IOP program. And I woke up that morning and like I had for the first time ever, I like honestly like had remorse. That was like new to me. That was very, very new to me because I kept thinking like it was other people's problems for the longest time, right? I never took responsibility. But yeah, no, I mean, so went into IOP and I actually went to my first meeting, real meeting of AA. I forget what which one it was. It was a meeting. I don't really remember anything. I wore sunglasses because I thought like everyone would like know who I was, right? So I like had to find a meeting that like was far away from like Falls Church where I live, and like I don't know like who drove me. I think I like called the hotline or something, and someone picked me up, and I was very grateful for that. And but again, what would happen would be, I would have remorse that morning, right? And then I would have resolve and be like, I'm not gonna drink that night. I'm not gonna do that. And then like five or 4 or 5 would pass, and something would just would flip, right? Like my mind would flip, or my choice would flip, and it would be like, oh, you know what? It really wasn't that bad, right? It was just maybe it was just like the Secret Service's fault. So like I think I actually went out that night, right? I went out not went out that night, and I mean that was 3 years in AA. Let me just be very clear here for a second. I was in AA. I was going to meetings. I was calling a sponsor, and going to meetings, but I wasn't working the steps, and I was drinking every night. And I was like actively drinking, and I mean, I did everything from switch sponsors. I've had 10 different sponsors over the years. It's not, I don't know. I mean, it is what it is. And I try to, and I'll talk about my program in like 5 minutes, but or what it's like today. But yeah, no, like I would. Yeah, so like I would, go to meeting that night, and I switched home groups. So basically I actually so okay, so I went to AA for a period of time. This was fall of 2017. My everything started to be, I think I had like 3 weeks sober right at that point. And I was in IOP, and I was working in the field that I do, and something really good happened. And I started telling people like, maybe I'm really not an alcoholic, maybe I'm not that bad. And then I started applying for jobs, and I went back to Michigan. I went to that same congressional district. I actually moved to Kalamazoo this time, from February to March 2018. And I very much would, I was way out of my league, and like I was like I think I put a week sober there, and then like literally that Monday rolled around, and then I was out. Or I was like, I would drink. I was drinking every night, and for about 6 or 7 weeks straight, and yeah, like again, like that vicious cycle, right? Like I would go to work, I would drink, when I would go to the bar, I would get hammered at the bar, and like, I would be, wake up in random people's rooms. I stay at a hotel. Actually during that time, like an extended like stay hotel. And yeah, like I thought that was like the life, I was like, I've arrived, guys, and I mean, it was just really pathetic for me, right? And it and so I yeah, so came back. I basically got fired from that job eventually, right? I couldn't pull it down at all, couldn't show up sober. And And then I would go out and drink, and like people would start like talking about me and stuff. And and like I did what I do best is I got fired and I retaliated, and I'd be like, this is your problem. This is your problem. Like, you need to do this, this, and this. And I was never willing to accept that, like, this is all me, like, no one else. And I didn't have the humility. I didn't have the words that I do have today, right? And so anyway, I got fired from that Kalamazoo job. I immediately came back home in March, and and then like I went back to meetings, and I went back to that IOP program, and May turned around, and I actually went to something called a watch. If you guys know what that is, it's like when someone would get a year of sobriety, and like it was like a party, and I was like, what is this? So anyway, my friend, his name's Jimmy, drove. He lives down in Burke, Virginia today. He drove me to my first watch, and I met people actually from my now current home group, Midtown, and that changed my life, right? And but I still didn't get sober, right? I switched home groups. Oh, sorry. I switched home groups and to Midtown, and my first night I went to Midtown. It was Mother's Day 2018. I wanted to make it super like dramatic, so I like went into there's a bar in the town where I live called the Four Provinces. It was like this Irish bar, and I've not been in there in sobriety, and I don't plan on doing that, except to make amends, right? But yeah, no, I went into that bar, and I like, told the bartenders where I would be, and they're kidnapping me, guys. So if I don't show up tonight later, like this is where I am. And it's just like I had all this like drama associated with it. It just was nuts. And I know I'm saying a lot of like time in my thing and in my story, and I'll get sober, I promise. But yeah, so anyway, so I started going to Midtown. I started I kept drinking like more intensely and more like I was getting sicker and sicker by each time I drank. So yeah, so basically fast forward through a whole bunch of stuff. I ended up going to inpatient rehab for 4 months up in New Jersey. And I got out 4 years ago tonight, actually, this or today. So December 17th, 2019, I actually got out of Seabrook in New Jersey. And I stayed sober for about, I think, a month. And then I mean something would switch again, right? And like I was getting uncomfortable. I wasn't praying or I wasn't doing anything, right? And I was still a visitor in AA. So yeah no like I yeah so like I wasn't yeah so I of course drank again. So yeah, so fast forward, COVID-19 reared its head on the world, and all the bars in America just shut down temporarily, right? All the bars just magically like went out of business, right? And yeah, so I mentioned this earlier, but the last time I drank it, I went out to the seedy Indian restaurant in Mirrorfield, Virginia, where kind of like where or right where I used to live. Yeah, so I had about five drinks that night, ran into someone who I used to drink with back like 10 years ago. He was like, I don't know, he just like he remembered me. I was like, I was just really like, I mean, I wasn't too drunk, but like I was definitely, in it. So yeah, so basically I came home, my caregiver actually when I was getting ready for bed, and I actually started to take advantage of me, and we We were doing some stuff, and it turned really inappropriate really fast. And I wasn't that drunk, right? So like I after like he left, and I actually called a former pigeon of mine named Eric. And I was like, hey, this just happened. And just like for the first time ever, like I had a white light moment. Like I was like, oh my God, like what am I doing here? I've been in rehab. And this is what my life has come to. Like I've never really had that thought process ever before in my life, ever. So yeah, the next morning I called my sponsor, called people in the program, and my mom actually conveniently moved me into the place where I'm currently at now, right? And yeah, I was going, early in sobriety, right? Like I was going to the Zoom meeting every day, right? I was going, I would sign on to the noon, and I would talk to people in the meantime, and I was able to try, I was able to put times together, right? And yeah, it's just like yeah, so I finished that four step that I was sitting on for 3 years. I like literally like I held nothing back. I like told my sponsor everything because I was so scared. Like I did not trust myself one iota that I swear to God I would drink again. Like honest to God. And I still might today, but like, I'm grateful just for to be sober today, And yeah, so I started working at 67, and then in October of 2020, I was able to make amends to my father, which was and like I thought so, and I didn't really touch on this, but my dad was one of us, yeah, so I was able to put a year together, and I started going back to in-person meetings, and I started getting rides from people, and I was nervous. Like I had a really healthy like nervousness that I would like drink again, right? So I just had to like be like on guard, but at the same time though, like I knew like I wasn't going to get struck drunk, right? So yeah, so I went to yeah, so I started going back in-person meetings. I finally was able to get a job and hold down a job, and I became a I started working in the same field I work in, I was working in. And I was able to actually go to work and show up and suit up and show up, right? And that was new to me, right? I was able to to start helping people, people who had less time than me. Be able to help people with time, right? And I mean today, yeah, so like I'm 3.5 years sober today, which I'm immensely grateful for, and God is the steps, every step in the book, right? In the book of AA, really has helped me not only identify a higher power, but able to cultivate that relationship. And what I mean by that is that like I'm able to like rely on God for like things that I would have never ever thought that I could like rely on him, right? And just like I didn't trust people for a very, very long time because of this. Like I was scared, like I didn't think like God would be for me because I was, I came out as gay when I was younger. And again, that was me versus you again. And but I was able to take that action and work on the inventory, right? And yeah, so we're 3.5 years today. Life today is completely different. I mean, this year's probably been and I want to just like talk about this, but this year's honestly been one of the hardest years of my life, sober or not sober. It was, I mean, nothing compared to my actual addiction, right? Nothing, nothing. I mean, that was the worst, right? But May 23rd of 2020. It was a Monday night. I actually got home from a meeting. I was home for not even 10 minutes. I fell backwards in the hallway I was in, and I broke my femur of my leg. And that happened on Monday. That Wednesday I had surgery, and I was actually like, and I was and then so that Wednesday I had surgery. That Friday I got out, and then that next Tuesday my mom got a call, and my mom gave me, like, woke me up at like 6 o'clock that morning, right? And just gave me pain med, the medicine for the leg, and I went back to sleep. I woke up, and I heard my mom and my sister crying, and and I heard the word police, like, for some reason, like, in their conversation, and I was like, still asleep. I was trying to wake up, and then my mom, and then I started calling for my mom. She came in. She told me that my dad died, and that was 8 days after I broke my leg. No, like, I am, like, my dad was one of us. There's no doubt about it. He actually died holding a bottle of Jack Daniels, and that's really hard for me to talk about still. Grief has been really hard this year. But yeah, I mean, so much has happened this year, but good things, too. One thing I'll say about my dad, I saw him for Mother's Day 20 or this year, right? And actually that was his birthday day as well. So I went out to lunch with them or brunch somewhere, and my dad, like, had a black eye because he was, like, drinking and kept falling and all that stuff, right? And so, like, I was, like, kind of scared for him, but I didn't know he would, like, pass away 2 weeks later. But like, he, like, pulled me aside and was like, "Jeff, I am so proud of you." And that was, like, one of the last things he's ever said to me. And and, like, that's not me. That's not me by any stretch of the imagination at all. That's my higher power working through my life today. Like, honest to God, because I was not capable of that at all. But I mean, life is good today, right? Like, I went to this guy's wedding, a few, several weeks ago, and I was able to show up and be able to be present and celebrate that day. And I didn't drink there. And I was able to actually have a good time sober, and I was able to, like, be of service to people, and I was able to, that gratitude really helped me, get, and have, I had a blast. And today I'm a small business owner. I run a political consulting shop. I run a PAC as well, and that's a gift and an honor and a privilege. And I mean, that was so not me 3.5 years ago, folks. Like, my God, it wasn't. Like, I would be literally incapable of A, holding down a job, and B, like, I would be so drunk all the time. Like, I wouldn't be able to put in any work. And if I did, I lied about it. And yes, but yeah, I'm going to a meeting. I call my sponsor. I wipe away my blocks, right, that block me from me to you, and that really enables me to have the sunlight of the spirit. And to, again, and I say this word cultivate, but to really utilize this higher power, because at the end of the day, though, right, like, I will only have a it might be, I might not be around any AA people that day, right? And if I want to drink, right, like, which thankfully has not happened, right, but I'm sure it will happen, right? Like I have, just for today, right? And I don't know what the future will hold, right? I'm not, I can't tell time or like that. But I mean, like, I
I use that higher power, for good, right? And I'm able to, use that and to be able to be of service. I was talking to like two new guys this weekend, just about like stuff that they're going through, and that all of those conversations really puts me back in like in a place of gratitude, right? Because that instantly. My problems today are so different from back then. And I mean, life today is beautiful, guys. It really is. Like, I should not be sober. I should not be here. Like, I don't mean to be dramatic about this. I really don't. But I should not be here. And I mean, I will keep coming back. But I It's best that I so appreciate it. A, being of service, because this, like, doing these things, like, really remind me that, life is good, and like my feet are trained in AA to do this. And I mean, not every day's perfect, right? But like, that's life, and I'm able to suit up and show up to life today, and I was incapable, back then. And for the holidays, my dad died this year, right? So I'm going with my mom, who I love very much. We're going to a beach town in New Jersey where she used to go as like a child. And excuse me, I'm gonna get emotional. And we're just gonna have a quiet Christmas. And I'm so looking forward to that. My sister's here from Bangladesh right now. She just gave birth to a second child, and that first nephew of mine is my god son. I'm his godfather, and I mean, she asked me that. Like, my sister had nothing to do with me. She actually sent me an email inviting me to her wedding, and in an ultimatum of like, if you do this, this, and this, I will not talk to you, or I will like banish you out of my life. So I mean, like, it was really intense, and like I had like a babysitter and everything for that. Like, that was like fall of 2018. So I was like, and that was in Atlanta. So funny story. But anyway, yeah, I'm starting to ramble, but yeah, no, it's just like life is good today. It really is. And like my feelings aren't always that, like, guess what? Like, I have a lot of feelings about a lot of people 99% of the time, but I inventory that. I talk to a sponsor. I'm able to take action and get unblocked so I can be of service to the sick and suffering alcoholic. And that's beautiful. Yeah, my sponsor's certainly tired of like hearing my shit, but like, or my stuff, but I own that, right? And yeah, life is good. And I'm so grateful to be here, grateful to be sober. And please, I'd love to give you my number if you guys need help. And AA today is such a joy to be a part of. So thank you.